It is Monday, August 19th, 2019. The mayor is out of town today, and I will be serving as acting mayor. I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lucy?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here. All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome all the guests who are here today. There are agendas on the two side tables if you'd like, and also, if you have any questions, please raise your hand at the appropriate time, and you will be recognized. At this time, I invite you to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance led by Mr. Frye.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number three, additions to the agenda. We'll begin with...
Mayor, excuse me, do we need to name a pro...
That's what I'm going to put on the agenda right now.
There we go.
Agenda item 3A will be election of President Pro Tem. Any other agenda additions from members of City Council?
Yes, Mrs. Westfall, I have two. We need to schedule a meeting of the Community Relations and Economic... or Community Relations and Human Resources Committee.
We'll make that 17A.
Right, and then I would like to add a brief item at the end to discuss a potential addition to the zoning code.
And we'll add that as item number 19, potential addition to zoning code. Thank you. Anything else?
I hesitate, but I would like to add an executive session at the end to address litigation matters.
So at the end of all items, we'll do an executive session?
Brief.
To discuss litigation. Anything else from members of council? Hearing nothing. Anything from Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mrs. Westfall.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing.
Captain Miller?
Nothing.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mrs. Westfall.
Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mrs. Westfall.
So the... any... is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries and agenda stands amended. I'd like to introduce agenda item 3A, election of President Pro Tem. Is there a motion from the floor for a member to serve as President Pro Tem?
Mrs. Westfall, I'd like to move that Mr. Frye serve as President Pro Tem tonight.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Mr. Frye serve as President Pro Tem. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall.
I'd like to introduce agenda item number four, approval of the council meeting minutes of the July 15th, 2019 meeting. Mr. Frye?
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. I'd like to introduce the meeting minutes for the July 15th, 2019 meetings, minutes of the City Council.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the meeting minutes from the July 15th, 2019 meeting of Sylvania City Council as submitted. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries and meeting minutes stand approved. With that, I'll move on to agenda item number five, and that's the report of the public hearing for the utility and ingress egress easements from David R. Webb and David M. Webb at Zero Colonial Court, Sylvania, Ohio. You did see information in your packet, and there was a certificate of notice sent to all of the neighbors. We did hold a public hearing today. All members of City Council were present and many members of administration. There was no public comment of interest. Nobody spoke in favor or against this recommendation. So we have legislation, I believe, and you should have received it at your tables, correct? And so with that, I would ask... I'm going to ask Mrs. Hussman to read this.
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. I would like to introduce ordinance number 6620 of 2019. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to execute and deliver to David R. Webb and Diane M. Webb an easement across buffer lot in a Colonial Park lot, buffer lot A in Colonial Park, for the purpose of constructing and maintaining private utilities, and also an ingress egress easement, approving the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission, waiving the second and third waiving the second and third reading, and declaring an emergency.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 66-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
I move final passage of ordinance number 66-2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance number 66-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 66-2019 stands approved. Thank you very much. With that, we now are going to run to agenda item number 6, the main municipal court update.
Some grants right now. I checked on this, Toby, because you said, where are the grants? So he's got
one for security cameras and one for corporate software. One grant is for $20,000, the other one is for $60,000. This kind of segues into why I'm here. I would like the court to hire a full-time magistrate sooner rather than later. The salary that I propose is $91,250. And first thing I, historically, the court had three acting judges, Paul Scheidel, Bill Cronkey, and Tom Pletz. And they would cover for the court when the judge wasn't there, or Bill Cronkey handled the small claims docket, and they would just, they would fill in whatever we needed them. And now Rolf retired, so I hired Pete Rolf, so I still have three acting judges. And they have been tremendous. I couldn't leave here without complimenting them publicly on what they've done for me personally and for the court in general. These four gentlemen are selfless, they're brilliant, and they come with tons of experience. But having said that, can't keep up. Simply can't keep up that way. So Maine Municipal Court is by far the busiest court in Northwestern Ohio. We are, of the single judge courts in Ohio, we're in the top 10. The Supreme Court has designated certain courts that are peer groups. They've called them peer groups to Sylvania. There are six other courts, Lyndhurst, Berea, Cleveland Heights, Kettering, Shaker Heights, Jonestown. Two of those courts have two full-time judges and one full-time magistrate. One of those courts has one full-time magistrate and three part-time magistrates. One of those courts has one full-time magistrate and one part-time magistrate. The fifth court has six part-time magistrates, and then one court has three part-time magistrates. We have zero. In addition to that, they do use acting judges on top of that. Why we need it? We need, first thing, we need some uniformity in the sentences that we're issuing. When you've got four different people looking at cases, you're getting four different outcomes. And I don't think that's appropriate. I think we need uniformity in sentencing. We need uniformity in following the rules and following the court's procedures, because I had changed a significant number of procedures, and I want everybody following that procedure. We started using two courtrooms. We have an A and B courtroom. I know this, but over at Sylvania Court, we have two courtrooms. And for these huge dockets that we get on Mondays or Wednesdays, these are the public defender days. And we routinely, in the prior court, it would be not unusual to have court till 6 o'clock or later. And that's just not, it's not workable, it's not fair to the people of the community, it's not fair to the taxpayers, because that brings an overtime cost as well. It certainly wasn't fair to the judge who's sitting up there the entire time. So we had the second courtroom, and I decided, well, why aren't we running two courts? Why don't we bring in one of those acting judges to help tear through that docket? So we do use, on Wednesday mornings, we use both courts, and we find out that we're getting out of there about 4:30 or sooner. So we've cut, last year we cut our overtime down by about a third. I would like to seriously look into a specialized docket, either domestic relations, domestic violence, or drug court, or both. And I simply don't have the opportunity to do that. It just seems like 90% of the time I'm sitting on the bench, just going through cases, and I'm not moving the ball forward. I think we're stuck. I feel like I'm treading water, and sometimes not even doing a good job at that. If we had a full-time magistrate, that would free me up to try to do more research on these dockets. I think these dockets would be good for the community. I think they would, when you can get the support needed to the drug offenders and the domestic violence people, you're helping not just them, but you're helping the families, you're helping the community at large. But I simply don't have the time to do that right now. I would like to hire a magistrate who would be willing to dig into that and who would be willing to look at grant writing. To my knowledge, the municipal court has never had a grant. And I know there's money out there because I know other courts are doing it. I know other courts have funded their specialized dockets with grant money. paperless courtroom, and most importantly, they run it in the black. We've been running an $800,000 deficit, as you've come to tell you folks that. The mayor's told me that consistently. He told me that when I was first campaigning. I introduced myself, and those first words out of my mouth, you know you're costing the, whoever is going to be the judge, is costing the city $820,000. Mr. Hayden might have mentioned that once or twice to you. But they're running in the black. And when we went over there, we saw so many things that they do a little bit differently. And we took that to heart. And I would like to incorporate more procedures, better procedures, if we had the time to do so. And one thing we could do, I think, with the full-time magistrate is consider, could this individual act as a collection person? Garfield Heights has a part-time, it's either a retired policeman or a retired lawyer, I don't know which one, but actually holds a collection docket and brings people in and they pay. So they do it. What we do is we simply refer to a collection agency. I think in 2018, we sent about $1.2 million in collections over, and I think we got about $450,000 back. So we're leaving over $500,000 in the table. The more people have heard this before, I analogize this to me when I was a paper boy with my brother. We had a morning paper route, which we hated with a passion. Because you had to get up before school, ride on your bike, and deliver the papers. Well, we do it. We bitch and moan, but we do it. And on Saturday, we were supposed to collect. And we refused to collect. So we did all the work, but we never got paid because we wouldn't go do the collection. It would drive our dad crazy. When he finally got us going out collecting, we collected just enough to pay our bill, and then we quit collecting. So we worked for the paper for free. Here, the court's doing all the work. The prosecutor's doing the work, the public defenders are doing the work, the judge is doing his work, the staff's doing their work. We get the conviction, we get the fine penalty, and then we don't follow through with any collection. I really would like to focus on collection because I think ultimately that's going to decrease this deficit. And not saying we're going to be in the black, but we certainly can do better. We could use research and writing on one of the best practices within the courtroom. Are we following the revised code? Is our budget correct? I haven't had a chance to dig into the budget. And when I did, later, I gave some bad numbers to Mayor and to Toby and to Leslie, which I apologize again for doing that. It wasn't intentional, but it shouldn't have happened. We don't have an employee handbook in the court. I'd like to have somebody work on that. I think that's critical. So those are some of the reasons I believe we need a full-time magistrate. As I said, I'm keenly aware of the funding crisis here. I'm keenly aware that the court, to the tune of $826,000 in 2017, we were in debt. We had a deficit. On Toby's numbers, that $690,000 is actually, I think it's closer to $620,000 when you take out the catch-ups we had to pay for a public defender budget that wasn't paid in the four prior years because of the negotiations. We actually did reduce that budget by $200,000. We have plans to decrease it more. First thing we're going to do is, starting September 1, we're increasing our court costs from $105 to $130. We're going to kick up $45 per case. We're going to charge fees we've never charged before. Charge fees for diversion, for deferred finding, for driving privileges, for modifications of driving privileges. You know, payment plan you got to pay. These are all ideas we got from going to Garfield Heights and having basically the judge DeCastro audited what we're doing and showed us these are spots you folks can improve on. That was just really a cursory look. We hadn't really had a chance to get into the weeds on that. We intend to have garnishment fees we never had before. We intend to start allowing defendants to post bond with the court. Used to be if you were in jail and I set a bond, you had to pay a surety to get out. What we're going to do now, what Garfield Heights does, is they accept the cash in their courthouse. It's usually 10% of whatever the bond is. They accept the cash. If the defendant defaults, if the defendant doesn't show up, we keep that money. If the take this extremely serious when the mayor, I think that might be his overriding concern with the court, is that we're drained on the assets of the city. And I prepared a little bit of projection for the mayor and for Leslie and Toby, and it was wildly inaccurate on what the proposed deficit would be if the magistrate was hired. Very optimistic, but it was inaccurate. Actually, the deficit we projected, it's hard to do with all these additional costs that are going to start September 1. I have no frame of reference for that because we've never done it. But I believe the deficit will be slightly above what it is this year. It won't be the 820, it'll be closer to 620, somewhere around there. And the year after that, I think it's going to be lower than this year. I think it's still going to be around 600, so I'm not promising a dramatic decrease, but I'm telling you we're going to be stable as we work our way down. I'd be happy to answer any questions I can. I was hoping my right hand woman, Rita, clerk of courts, she'd be here, she'd get certain.
Judge Bonfiglio, I have a couple questions. One, you talked about the uniformity of sentencing that you think would be a benefit, and I think you were tying that to the bringing a magistrate on board. So does that mean that the role of the acting judges would change? Would they still be used? Would they be needed less?
That's a great question, Mary. Sorry to explain that. They would be abolished. I met with the three acting judges. We went to dinner and I told them, get ready, you're going to get a pink slip if this goes through. And they're all fine with that. I think we would be down to using one acting judge, and that would be very selective. It would probably be, when I'm on vacation, I don't believe we would need an acting judge when the magistrate's on vacation. But I think when I'm on vacation, we would probably need to use an acting judge at least for the Wednesday mornings when we have a really busy docket, and for the Monday morning when we have a public defender docket. So we would greatly decrease the hours of the acting judge, but we wouldn't eliminate that.
Okay. And then the other question that I have for you is, you spoke about the decline in the deficit, that in fact you thought it would be around 620,000 and then perhaps a little less the next year, if I understood you correctly. When you gave us that figure, were you incorporating the salary for the magistrate?
Thank you. I was incorporating 60% of the salary in both years, right? So, part-time judges by statute are paid 60% by the city, 40% by the county. Magistrates, there's no such statute. So we did a review and we found that Toledo Municipal Court's magistrate are paid part by the city and part by the county. So I called Gary Byers, I've known for decades, and the first thing he says is, "What, you're the busiest court in Northwest Ohio. I can't believe you haven't already had this in place." I said, setting that aside, Gary, would be your position on this? And he said, because I said, I really would like to have something solid for Council Monday, and I know I'm putting you in the body, but he said, well, I can't speak for Mr. Gerken, I can't speak for Ms. Wozniak, but I will tell you that my position would be whatever is good for the city is good for the suburbs. So the city's paying, I mean, the county's paying for the city, a portion of the city magistrate, and I think it's 40%. He would advocate the same for the county.
Okay. Other questions from members of council?
I do have a couple of questions. The one is just more out of curiosity. The salary you quoted, Judge Bonfiglio, was $91,250. That number just doesn't slide off the top of your head. What's that based on? That's fine. I was just curious. I knew there had to be a formula. I was just wondering about that. But the more important or the more critical one, that you mentioned the jump from 16, and I could see that in the information, 16, 17, 18 of the cases seen by the court. Is there something you attribute that to? Is that Is that something that you, it doesn't look like you're projecting that same number for 19. Is that just a short-term blip in the number of cases, or is that something you would anticipate we're going to see ongoing growth in?
I would think we're going to see ongoing growth in. That projection, I guess, historically around the holidays, we get a lot of cases. 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day. We still got Labor Day coming up. So I don't think we're going to be far below that figure again. And I just think it's the nature of the beast that we're doing. Plus, a lot of those cases, we were pulling in, it took a little less because we were pulling in a lot of the old probation cases. Literally from 1998, 2000, 2001. So we were, when we'd see those, we'd get them in and try to dispose of them.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else?
So you said sooner than later. Does that mean like this year, like, or next year, or what are you thinking? And to hire this magistrate
tomorrow.
But then the piece about getting the 40% from the county commissioners, how is that going to fit in? Like, do we, like, when would we hear a definitive decision from them, or do we have to approve it and then they would think about it? Like, I feel like we would need to have something from them. I mean, that's a critical piece.
Well, and I appreciate that, Katie, but as far as I'm concerned, my need doesn't change.
So we know that there is on the agenda intention to refer this request to the safety committee. Is there a motion to do so? Is there a second?
I have a comment.
Okay.
There are some things just before we changes that just went to the bill, it's proposing to implement that I've been talking to our municipal court judges about for only 16 years. And so I want to just have you watch this closely. I'm sure the mayor, if he were here, would speak to this as well. The open minded. Focus has to increase in revenues and taking revenue steps is refreshing. It is a light of hope going forward, and I'm very pleased to see that we're doing that. And the kinds of things that these things will pay for this magistrate, I think.
Thank you, Doug. So there's a motion on the floor to refer this to the safety committee. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and this will be referred to safety. Judge Bonfiglio, you did a great job of presenting your case today. We thank you for your time and your focus on this and all the good work you're doing in the court system. To echo Doug's words, I feel like we're hearing good feedback about how you're running the court, and we thank you for your leadership.
Thank you. We have an awesome staff.
It's all good. It's all good. Thank you. So we will move on to agenda item 7, and that's the Funnigan's paintball issue update. And with that, I'm going to ask Mrs. Brining if she could bring us up to speed.
Sure. Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. I did send out the email a couple of weeks ago that indicated that they had, that Funnigan's had reconfigured the course. We were very hopeful that that was going to remediate the issue. Unfortunately, that did not fully remediate the issue. So last week, or on Saturday, Mr. Hamill and I spent some time together, and I was able to observe for about an hour and a half the paintball course and just see what is causing the paintballs to get over the fence. In the meantime, today I did speak with the Funnigan's attorney, Margaret Beck, and she is going to provide some written information to council prior to the next meeting just to indicate what steps they have taken in addition to the ones that we know about. And she also has a suggestion to potentially mediate this issue with a retired judge. And I, Mr. Hamel, I didn't have a chance to let you know that before now, so I apologize for that, but that is an idea that she had to move this issue towards a resolution. So that's the current.
So did I hear you correctly that the attorney for Funnigan's has agreed to mediate this issue?
Yes.
Okay. So as you know, we continue to be focused on trying to do the right things for our neighbors there. And again, we're glad to see all of you here. I would ask if you've got comments to make. We certainly are open to that. But if we're just going to be rehashing the same things, I would ask you to be sensitive to those, to the reality that we're trying to move forward and find the right steps to resolve this issue. If you choose to step up to the... Yep. And please just share your name and your address just as a matter of practice.
My name is Paul Hamel. I live at 5327 Forsyth. I am president of the Homeowners Association in the Hilltop of Palestine. We do want to applaud all the efforts of Councilman Hale, Councilman Lukey, Mrs. Brain, and Mr. Allard. It's the most we've had so far in 3 years of fighting this problem. However, are getting frustrated with the lack of progress. We're going to be seeing more and more residents come along as this goes along. It just, everything takes another month. Mm-hmm. Just want everybody to get pretty frustrated. I actually have some photographs of Debbie Gimbalos' home from a week ago, after they had already made some kind of a change. If anybody's interested in seeing these photographs.
Sure.
Can you send them around?
Yeah.
Great.
Good question, Leslie. What happened with the cameras? Didn't they put cameras up?
They were going to, Mrs. Capellini, but they apparently, because of the building infrastructure, and I am speaking way out of my lane here, there was some technical issue with the Wi-Fi system not being able to work in the building. So they did purchase the cameras and the software, but they just couldn't make it work. That's what we were told. So I did indicate to Mrs. Beck today that you know, a solution would include netting over the top and an additional fencing. That's right, exactly. And she understands that and is going to pass that along to her clients.
Mr. Westphal, I have a couple questions for Leslie. This notion of hiring a retired judge to come in, that sounds to me like we're approaching this as a civil issue as opposed to a criminal issue. I mean, it seems to me like we're relinquishing our ability to do any enforcement on these folks if we bring in
a judge. That's not the intent. The intent is just to get it moved toward a resolution. And I think that may be the best avenue to get everybody in the room and talking and understanding that they are still going to be neighbors after this is all over. I think that's the best way to
so we are not actively pursuing any approach that would suggest that they're breaking the law.
We have conveyed that to
well,
them.
Well, we don't seem to be doing anything about it. Do we have any kind of progressive discipline strategy in place with these owners? You and I have had a conversation mm-hmm. about this a couple of times, and I fear that they're playing the city, right? That they keep coming back with more legal remedy and never get anything done. And how can I be certain that that's not happening?
I don't know that any of us can until there is a solution in place. I was very encouraged, and on Saturday when I was out there, although there were, and I agree, there shouldn't be any that are coming over the fence. The paintball should be on the course, period. But I do feel like there weren't as many as had been coming over before. I agree, but I know it's a, they did take a step. We're working with them. Mrs. Beck understands that it's a priority and that she is working with her clients, and now they are at least willing to
have a discussion and work toward resolving issues.
Are they breaking any laws?
They specifically are not. The people that are shooting the paintballs over, yes. There's the air gun in the city. You're technically not supposed to be able to fire air guns in the city. There's also the criminal mischief ordinance.
So I think the chair as well. I know that Chief Schnorr is not here and able to address this issue, but Captain Miller, I don't know if you've been brought up to speed on any of this, and if there's anything you would like to add to this discussion.
We continue to respond to the complaints as we get them and try to document them and assist with the law department in trying to come up with some sort of resolution to this. But like the law director stated, you know, the ordinance that deals with the firing of the air guns in the city deals with a person, not with a business. So it's the...
I read those ordinances, you know. The problem is if we... I think they could be read to hold a property owner responsible as well. But that's also... it's not perfect in that regard. I think it would be... might be a stretch. It would be better if we could get them to make the structural changes that we're talking about. I think my comment to Leslie today was we need a zero tolerance on paintballs escaping the car.
Well, I agree, and I think
so the issue though is there's a significant capital expenditure involved, I think, in accomplishing that. I want to be aggressive on enforcement if we need to be. And I know, I guess I haven't been, we haven't been involved as long as you all have been in the last, it's been a month that I've been pounding Leslie's phone about this. And I think we've seen some progress. You know, if it doesn't work out, I'm willing to, you know, I would support going after them hard. But
so with that comment, certainly you can see that we're all very concerned, and we don't have the magic formula to give you an answer and a perfect solution at this moment, but we're continuing to move forward. I don't know if anyone would...
We could amend our code.
That's exactly where I was going to refer it to zoning.
I've talked with Leslie about that.
What would that do? Talk about that. That sounds intriguing to me.
The criminal mischief, I think, is pretty close to what we've got here already. But we could amend the code to explicitly, outlaw paintballs and leaving your property.
So, Mr. Hainem, would you be comfortable with referral to the zoning committee for further discussion on this topic?
I have a question. Yeah. Didn't we just say that air guns are not allowed to be shot?
Discharged.
So don't we already have?
That
we do.
We can prosecute all the players.
Right, but you would be going after the
individuals.
Prosecute them after 14 years. Right.
They're not 14 years.
Well, wouldn't that shut down their business if they weren't allowed to have air guns shot off in the city? That is the business they're in, right? And that business is not legal according to our ordinances? Is that what I heard you say?
I think that's an aggressive reading of the statute.
That would be me, wouldn't it? But if it's against our ordinance to have air guns shot off of the city, and that is the what they're doing, and we're allowing it, I'm not understanding why we need more.
Part of the complexity with this issue is that this was annexed into the city from the township. It was permitted in the township, so we brought it in. It's classified in our industrial zoning. We have to bring these, whenever we annex property, we have to accept it as to whatever the most comparable city zoning is. So we can't because we annexed it.
We can't enforce that law.
We can't shut them down. They are technically a legal non-conforming use. Now, if they want to make changes to their property, that would require a zoning change, and then we would have more input. But that is a complex, that adds another layer to the complexity, which is great for the residents because they were really not getting any traction because the building itself was in the township and their residences were in the city. So now that it is all in the city, we're addressing it.
Maybe I'm missing something. What's the mechanical process? This is my nature. Do these individuals who are going through these courses bring their own paintball guns? Or are they handed from the Funnigans to the individuals?
That I don't know.
It's both. Most of the tournament players bring their own units, but they also have rentals that they can rent. One of the problems is the paintball magazines that they have to buy from Funnigans, and at the end of the tournament, they're not allowed to take those out and bring them back for fear of whatever kind of problem. So they have to use them all up. And what we have found is they do anything they can to use up the rest of their magazines.
So, again, we thank you for your input. And is there any interest in a referral at this point? If
timeline
for this, what do we expect?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, I would like to move forward with getting it scheduled as soon as possible. I mean, it depends more likely on the mediator's availability, I would anticipate. I think Mr. Hamill's mostly available, and I believe the Swearingens would make themselves available as well.
Sounds like if they just traded their extra magazines back in for
right.
a credit.
That would alleviate a lot of the issue.
Be part of it, and mm-hmm. you could get money back.
Right, right.
Once your game's over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I'm not an attorney. If we do mediation and we don't prevail in a decisive way, mm-hmm. do we have any recourse? It's a negotiation.
Not an
so we don't know how long that will take.
I would, if Mr. Hamill, if the residents are amenable to it, I would move forward with getting a hold of Mrs. Beck first thing tomorrow and trying to get it, get her to get it scheduled.
Okay. Perhaps that's the first next step, mm-hmm. and to observe what happens in mediation.
Before we start,
yes, I think that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what that outcome is. So
to be sensitive to Mr. Lutke's concern about them playing us, I would suggest that we give them a deadline.
Oh, sure.
That we need to have this by these specific dates and move from there. Otherwise, well, you know, I'm going on vacation or whatever mm-hmm. naturally occurs, and then there's going to be an incremental delay mm-hmm. that the homeowners aren't necessarily going, you know, going to be happy to continue to have these issues.
So we want a resolution by our second meeting in September?
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know what the protocol is for arbitration mediation, but can we add to that the fact that if we don't get resolution, City Council is prepared to take action to create legislation around their business?
Yes.
They are aware of that.
I will make sure that they are. I will remind them.
They're basically have a month to get mm-hmm. this done, yeah. or we'll
And I would hope we act quickly enough to get something done by the end of the year.
Something sooner than that.
That would be good.
So, thank you for joining us again this evening, for sharing your concerns, and I think you can see we're continuing to make every effort to find the path forward to resolution for you. I think there's some good discussion here tonight, and so we will look forward to continued reports and updates on the mediation, and we thank you for being here. With that, we will move on to agenda item 8, which is the Silica Drive resurfacing project. And in fact, I would share with you the next 3 items on the agenda are all change orders. I'm going to start with Mr. Aller explaining the first one.
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. The first one is the Silica Drive project. That was a resurfacing project between Northview High School and Combat Drive. Henry W. Bergman was the contractor on the project, and their initial bid price was $84,867.81. Final quantities and some work that was not performed resulted in a deduct change order in the amount of $6,538.68, and therefore our final project cost on it was $78,329.13, and I recommend approval of the change order.
Thank you, Mr. Aller. Mr. Richardson, I would invite you to introduce the legislation in front of us.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Westfall. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 67, 2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only, authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to approve Change Order Number 1, final to this city's agreement with Henry W. Bergman, Inc., for the Silica Drive resurfacing project, which reflects the actual work performed on this project, decreasing the contract amount by $6,538.68, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 67-2019 be read by title only and the second and third reading be waived. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 67-2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage for Ordinance 67-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Ordinance 67-2019 stands approved. That will go on to agenda item 9, which is the Woodstream Farms resurfacing project, and again, another change order. Mr. Aller, would you like to bring us up to speed on this?
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. This project was performed by Gherkin Paving, and in this area we did a lot of sub-base repair as well as the resurfacing project, and then we also brought the curb ramps within the project limits up to current ADA standards. The original project bid on this project was $268,816.65, and we had some additional work on this project with final quantity adjustments. The total change order was an add of $8,961.97, which brought the total to $277,778.62, and we recommend approval of this.
Thank you, Mr. Aller. Any questions for Mr. Aller on that? Hearing none, Mr. Richardson, would you like to introduce Ordinance Number 68-2019?
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Westfall. I'll introduce Ordinance Number 68-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only, authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to approve Change Order Number 1, final to the city's agreement with Gherkin Paving, Inc. for the Woodstream Farms Resurfacing Phase 1 project, which reflects the final installed quantities on this project, increasing the contract amount by $8,961.97, appropriating funds, therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 68-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 68-2019.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage.
Second.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thank you. Moved and seconded for final passage for Ordinance Number 68-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance is approved. Thank you very much. Moving on to agenda item 10, Holland Savannah Road resurfacing project. Mr. Aller, I think this will require a little bit more discussion potentially, but I look forward to your very clear explanation.
It certainly created much more talk within our office, I can tell you that. In August of last year, when we were putting the budget together, we had estimated, this was a joint project with Lucas County Engineers Office, and we had estimated that our portion of the project would be just over $278,000. Between August and final design, which was, I'll say, late spring of this year, we added some work. We had been considering some work at the Britton Main intersection, and that work, some grant work, we discovered through that grant system that we would not be, would likely not be successful, but we didn't want to put that work off too much into the future because the pavement, the base is starting to go on it. Because we were on Holland, Sylvania, we felt that now was the time to do that work because we were going to be right there rather than do it as a standalone project. So we had added that portion to the project. So we had anticipated that our costs were going to be a little higher, but with the bids that we had seen on our other paving projects, we were hopeful that we would still be very close to that figure with the favorable bids that we had seen. That was not the case, to say the least, on this project. That additional work, we did add some nighttime work requirements into that because of the heavy traffic, daytime traffic on Holland, Sylvania. This project is actually going from Elmer Drive in the township all the way up to Main Street. So it's a heavily traveled stretch, obviously. And so we added the work to be done in the evening when that traffic's not there. And then, of course, some quantity adjustments that occur on some projects, and some go up, some go down. At the end of the day, our costs for the project came to $394,644.15, which is more than about $120,000 more than our original calculation. However, other projects within the capital improvement program and those bids are what cause us to be optimistic, have been completed at costs much less than had been estimated. Even with this project, if the project is approved to move forward, we will still be about $150,000 less than the amount that was originally budgeted for our capital improvements. I don't believe that if we didn't perform our project and tried to do a solo or anything, I don't believe that there's any benefit to us for that. I do believe that our best option is to still proceed with this work. We did compare, sometimes contractors will try to balance their bids where they're getting some funds first rather than at the end of the project. The bid prices that the county engineer got are the same prices that we got. There wasn't anything like that going on. It was just a large portion, in all honesty, is the nighttime work. I think the contractor pulled a premium for that, it cost us more money than was anticipated on this project. However, we do still recommend it moving forward. We're still within our capital improvement budget, I would look for approval to amending our participation level.
Thank you, Mr. Aller. And just as a point of clarification, right at the very end, you did indicate that this is still within our budgeted capital improvement.
Correct.
So that's, I think, very good news. Any questions for Mr. Aller on this?
Mr. Aller, you commented about the substantial increase. I'm assuming this is a ratio for the county as well, the county engineer as well?
Yes, their portion didn't go up as much. A large portion of the additional work was in that area that's beneath US 23. There's some work that's needed there in the sidewalk area, and that's ours. And so that had an increase into it. and then the portion right at Brighton Main had some increased cost on it too. So neither one of those were in the contractors, or excuse me, in the county's proportion, if you will.
Gotcha. So,
but their cost did come in higher than originally anticipated as well.
I'm assuming you talked to the county engineer about whether or not this should be rebid?
Yes, yes. We do not feel, and neither one, at this stage of the game and the bidding climate, we don't believe that that would be beneficial.
Thank you very much. With that, I would invite Mr. Richardson to introduce the legislation.
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. I will introduce Ordinance Number 69, 2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to enter into an amendment to the Joint Cooperation Agreement with the Board of Lucas County Commissioners relative to the Holland-Sylvania Road Resurfacing Project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $116,468.15, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 69-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 69-2019.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 69-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 69-2019 is approved. Thank you very much. Moving on to Agenda Item 11, we have the Somo Flats Retaining Wall Project. I think all of us knew this project would be coming up at some point in time. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Mr. Aller, would you like to kind of bring us up to date on the specifics around this?
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. This wall was, when the property was sold, there was actually an encroachment of an old wall that had been up in that area and had fallen into the property and was in disrepair and needed to be removed as part of the purchase agreement with the developer. We had previously approved a design contract with Northwest Consultants, and they put together a final product. It'll be about 250 feet of cast-in-place concrete. As part of the purchase agreement or developer agreement, I'm not sure which agreement it's in, but as part of one of the agreements with that development, the city will be contributing $50,000 in funds towards the project. That was also part of our capital budget. We will also be utilizing $100,000 in grant funds that we have received as part of the state appropriations bill. And so that $150,000 will go towards the project. The remaining costs will be borne by the developer for this project. The estimated cost of the project is $328,842.02. I don't know why we have that on there. we anticipate that the construction could occur as early as this fall, but in all likelihood, through the winter or into the early spring of next year. We're trying to coordinate that work, obviously, with the developer's construction and keep the equipment out of each other's way. So exact timing, we're still kind of working with the developer on that. So would ask for permission.
Is capped here.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Aller. Any other questions for Mr. Aller? Hearing none, I would need to entertain a motion to authorize the clerk to advertise for bids. Mrs. Huffman, would you like to do that?
Yes, I can do that. Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. Yes, I would authorize the clerk to advertise for bids for the Somo Flats retaining wall in the amount of $50,000.
It's been moved and seconded to authorize the clerk to advertise for bids for the Somo Flats Retaining Wall Project. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Moving on to Agenda Item 12, looking at the Zoning Ordinance Amendment Application, ZA1-2019. I don't know if Mr. Aller or Mrs. Brining would like to speak to this in any way.
I think at this stage it's for a referral to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
they're asking for a zoning change for the land that's in behind the Kroger, Savannah Avenue, along Sylvan Town Boulevard, and the first step would be for the referral.
Yep. So, Mr. Hanem, would you like to make the referral?
No, I really wouldn't. I think I'm required. I don't like this project as proposed. I think it's a inappropriate land use change. It's inconsistent with our land use plan. This property is surrounded by commercial zone properties and commercial developed properties, and I think in the township on the one side, I actually think that's light industrial. It is not commercial. This is an inappropriate location for a residential development of this type. So my initial view is that this land use change is inappropriate under the code and maybe even spot zoning. I mean, I'm not a litigator, but I know a little bit about zoning, and I'm not sure that this is appropriate in that standard. It's certainly not consistent with what we have decided we want developed there along Sylvan
Crossing.
Sylvan Town Drive.
Sylvan Lakes.
We set that aside as, when we did the land use plan for commercial development. My second concern is that even if I could get over the land use change, I can't imagine I would ever vote for a flat out zoning change to an R4. We have enough issues with development of multi-resident uses that I would strongly urge us, even if we were to decide to go with a land use change, to do this as a planned unit development, where council and the city, where council could have, and this is, and I mentioned this to Kevin, this, I'm not second guessing the good work that our planning folks do with the city, but I think we would want to have council oversight into the types of development, the type of development that would go here. This is a lot of people that you're talking about. Over 250 units, over 500 people. We would not have done SOMO this way, and we should not do this development this way. Unfortunately, and I did check with our law director on this to make sure that she had the same conclusion I did, I think our code requires us to refer this to the Planning Commission. And I suggested to Kevin last week that he might talk to the developer about withdrawing this in favor of evaluating it as a PUD going forward. I guess that hasn't happened. So I guess having said all that, I would refer this to the Planning Commission with a request that they reject this land use change.
Is there a second?
No, no. That's telling them what to do. I don't think we can do that.
You want to vote on that, Mary?
Well, so what's the motion?
There's no second.
Oh, it needs a second.
I would like to do more, honestly.
Can I make a second acknowledging Mr. Hanem's opinion that doesn't speak with the rest of council?
So is the...
He wants to support us. He wants us to vote on it. We can vote that down and then we do the motion.
So I'm confused.
Let's have some discussion on it.
So Mr. Hanem, your motion is to refer it to the Planning Commission with a recommendation to turn it down?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we're required by staff, we're required by our code to refer.
Got it.
Okay. I'd like to tell the Planning Commission, we don't like this land use change. And I don't know how to be clearer about it than that.
So there is a motion on the floor. We do have a member, we do have a member of the planning commission here, so he's heard all of your comments and is aware of your position. That's a benefit, right? That's a good thing. So,
And I would certainly plan to attend this planning commission.
Which is great.
I would like to, do we have a second?
There is a second.
Okay, I'd like to amend the motion to delete the last, all but the first 28 words.
No, I can accept that.
What did you say? I'm sorry, Mark.
Okay, so I'm moving that we amend the motion to delete all but the first 28 words of the motion.
You ought to amend the motion so it's to refer.
To refer only. Yeah, okay, so if that makes everybody
refer
happy.
Refer and request their recommendation.
Right.
I'll accept that.
Okay, so.
I'm sorry, Mary.
So this is a vote on the amendment.
So the amendment will vote on the amended motion, which is to refer this to the planning commission.
Period.
So there's been a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All in favor? I mean, Alec, any opposed?
And I'd like to move approval of the main motion.
Okay.
As amended, there you go.
Thank you.
I was like very confused. Okay, so now we've got a motion on the floor and a second to approve
the main motion
as amended. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Mr. McCann, you have your work cut out for you. Be prepared.
Welcome to AAA Bowl.
Okay. Now I'd like to introduce agenda item 13, which is special use permit with the Shalom of the Pie. Again, this is a referral to Planning Commission. I don't know if Mrs. Brining or Mr. Alex, if there's anything that we need to share with council that might not be obvious at this point.
I don't believe so, Mrs. Westfall. This is for the tea house on Main Street, that property. They want to change their hours and also be permitted to use their kitchen for catering. And I don't know, Kevin, if you have any more specific information, that's what I recall.
That's about all. They're not looking to adjust the hours for events on site.
Right.
Just be able to use their kitchen for catering events.
Perfect. Mr. Hanum, would you like to introduce?
This is special. Okay, they currently have special.
Correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And where is the, they want to change the hours, use of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Where would that be incorporated?
It would need to be incorporated into the code as well, I believe. We created that special use section specifically for them. So we'll have to also take a look at the code and make sure we don't need to adjust that to be able to use the kitchen. We can refer this now, and I will prepare if we need to make an adjustment to the legislation. I'll have that for the September 3rd meeting, so they can be simultaneous.
Okay, and you can get to the planning commission.
Right, and then we can stagger the public hearing
the
dates.
Planning commission meeting
September, I believe it's the second Wednesday.
Second Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we will have a hearing ultimately on this.
Yes.
I know the neighbors initially when we zoned this were quite contentious, some of them, so giving them an opportunity would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think this would work out pretty well.
I think so too.
Yeah. Okay, so I would move that we refer application number SUP1-2019 as proposed by Shalom of the Pie RMC to
It's been moved and seconded that the special use permit amendment application SUP1-2019 be referred to the plan commission. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and this too will be referred to the planning commission. Thank you very much. Moving on to agenda item 14, which is notice of transfer of the D5 and D6 liquor permit from Karam Enterprises doing business as Damascene Grill. To Damascene Grill LLC. Generally, we ask Chief Schnorr if he has anything that he would share with about this, or if he's had a chance to review it.
I don't believe he's had a chance to review it because he hasn't left any information with me on that.
Okay. So is there a timing issue that's of concern?
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like we shouldn't approve it without an okay by police.
I would recommend we table this unless there's a huge timing issue.
There is a timing issue.
There is?
Yeah. We have until the 19th of August.
Oh, dear.
So Mrs. Booker had the opportunity to have a dialogue, so if there's anything that you can shed light on, we would appreciate that.
I had sent an email to Chief Schnorr and let him know that the action to be able to request a hearing was to be postmarked no later than today. He did respond back to me and said that he did not, he was not in any position that he would request a hearing on this matter. That's all he said to me. So he was not going to request a special meeting for you to act on this.
It's too late. It doesn't really matter.
Well, that was 2 weeks ago.
I understand, but I mean, the 19th is today.
Okay.
Yeah, you can still postpone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leslie's pulling, burning some midnight oil. So just because I'm the one that's going to have to make this motion. So he had no issue with this particular enterprise and the change, correct?
He just said that he would not be requesting council to have a special meeting so that they could react to request a hearing on this matter.
So he was recommending that there not be a hearing.
I do think that the mayor had shared with me that this is really just a name change, and that's what's requiring them to come before us, and that there has not been, that they're aware of any problems.
Fair enough. I'll make the motion not to request a hearing for the modification to the liquor permit for the Karam Enterprises to the Damascene Grill LLC.
It's been moved and seconded to not request a public hearing on this liquor permit. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and this is no hearing requested. So now we will move on to agenda item 15, which is approval of items to be offered for auction on govdeals.com, and that is in your packet. Mr. Yao, I don't know if there's anything that you need to add. It seems pretty obvious to me, but... anything specific here that you want to share?
They're okay. Old trucks. We've used them.
Okay. Mr. Fry, would you like to?
I'd like to compliment Mr. Aller on the summary. I'll make a motion to authorize the administration to place these two well-used vehicles on the govdeals.com for bidding.
It's been moved and seconded that these two vehicles will be placed on govdeals.com .org for sale. And all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to committee reports. 16, first the report on the committee of the whole. We did have Mrs. Fuller come in to speak to us on the new logo. She presented some very nice designs, and she had some good opinions and direction on that. There was some concern about the colors, and so she's going to email out colors to us so that we can feel more comfortable with the actual PMS colors that will be incorporated. We had a discussion around the flag. She presented some nice designs there, and she is going to make another suggestion. Once we've received all the colors, if it seems in order, we will then move forward with legislation. We also had a discussion on the 2020 city calendar, and Mr. Lutke made a recommendation and presented the proposal along with Mr. Sanford that had come in from Fuller Art House and
Landers.
Landers, thank you very much. And there was a recommendation to request administration to advance legislation on this. Do you need a motion on that? And then we had a brief discussion about...
A contract for a downtown plan.
Mm-hmm. And we made a referral on that.
Which we need to schedule next.
Which we need to schedule next. So with that, I would ask if there's a motion to ask administration to develop legislation to advance the 2020 city calendar with Flanders and Fuller Art House.
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded to ask administration to prepare legislation on the 2020 city calendar. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries, and that calendar will be advanced. As a side note, that meeting did adjourn at 7:30. With that, we will go on to 17A, which is scheduling a community relations meeting.
Right. This is to discuss and review and discuss the proposal by Environmental Design Group related to a downtown plan. The Community Relations Committee is myself, Mrs. Hussman, Katie, and Patrick. I'd like to schedule it sometime in the second half of the week of the 9th, if we can. What works for you, either first thing in the morning?
I'll be gone.
Are you? You're gone all week.
I've gone all that week.
You are. Yeah, that's not so good. Ah, well. Do you want to? We could try to schedule. Could we try to schedule it on the 10th?
I'll be gone all that week.
Oh, yeah, I know. What I'm asking is whether you would be willing to review this and huddle up with me and discuss it.
Sure. That helps.
Well, otherwise, we won't get it done.
You can't get it done by the end of the month, otherwise.
Right.
Is that about September 10th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, this is the Human Resource Committee meeting.
I'm sorry.
This is the HR committee meeting, community relations. Right, okay. I have a meeting at 5:15 with the sister cities. Could we meet at 4:30 on the 10th?
4:30.
Yeah, sure.
You said 4:30.
4:30. Could we make it 4:15? We may have more conversation than an hour. So, Sharon.
So that meeting is 4:15 on Tuesday, September 10th.
Correct.
And we'll ask here. And we'll ask the clerk to please post that.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I think we had a safety committee meeting that we were needing to get scheduled. Mr. Fry?
Oh, yes.
Regarding the magistrate position.
About before our next council meeting on the 4th.
On the 4th. I'm not here for that.
When do you leave, Mark?
Wednesday.
This Wednesday, what is today? Day after tomorrow?
Yeah.
And you're back?
Yeah, you were thinking of meeting then?
No.
I'm leaving.
I don't know what he's thinking.
I'm leaving late in the afternoon.
When?
On Wednesday.
On what Wednesday?
This Wednesday.
Oh, no, not that quick. Oh,
okay.
That doesn't work. There's no way that works for me. What about the week of the 26th, Mark? You're gone that whole week?
Yeah. Yeah, I won't be back until the 10th.
Until the 10th? Okay, the first day back?
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, what's this? This is on...
This is on the magistrate.
This is on the magistrate.
Okay.
I don't see any way we can get it in before the 16th.
Mm-mm.
I'd like to consider it.
Do we have somebody missing on the 16th?
Yep. Can we do the 16th?
So Monday, September 16th.
I could do the 16th, well, anytime.
Can you do that, Doug?
Do what?
Monday, the 16th.
6:30?
6:30 is good.
Because I suspect there's going to be a significant amount of questions.
Sure.
So this is specifically related to that?
Yep.
Is your intention to invite the judge, or is it just...
Oh, yeah, I'm going to invite the judge. In fact, I was planning on sitting down and talking with him in much greater detail.
Okay.
I think he did a nice job presenting his thought process, but I'd like to have more information before we have a broader discussion. Because this is a long-term decision for the city.
Yes, it is.
Lots of ramifications, potentially both positive and negative. Yep.
Thank you very much. Okay. Moving on to agenda item number 18, report on water contract negotiations. I know that Mrs. Brining sent out the most recent draft to everybody with all of the attachments. I don't know how many of us have had an opportunity to review it. I would share with you that certainly the mayor has had an opportunity to look at this, and one of the things that he did share with me is that there will likely, or there would not be need for any action from our city council until Toledo City Council approves this contract, and that is still something to be determined. I am not 100% sure when they plan to review that, but I do know that they have a meeting on September 3rd, before our September 3rd meeting, so there may be some more information at that point. I do think that there were a couple things, as we all know, that the mayor has continued to be very focused on, and specifically in the areas of redundancy and in the areas of the wholesale versus retail cost. And I do feel like both Mr. Aller and Mrs. Brining are prepared to talk about that a little bit, and so I would turn it over to both of them to kind of bring us up to date on the high points that would be of interest.
Sure. Thank you, Mrs. Westphal. I do have an outline of the Toledo process I can run through quickly. Toledo presented their ordinance approving the agreement to their clerk, which I believe on Friday. They anticipate having it on their agenda for action and approval on the September 3rd meeting at 4, they meet at 4 o'clock. So you all will know in advance of our meeting, or should know. They also are going to have a public hearing on August 26th. And then they, Mayor Capsicavage indicated that they will give the communities 60 to 75 days before they'll be really looking for action. Obviously, if we want to act before that timeframe, we can. So that's a little bit on the procedure and the process going forward. To address the redundancy issue, the contract does include the language that was proposed as part of the TAWA, original TAWA agreement, that redundancy is not guaranteed simply because we don't know the cost, but it is something that is a priority, will be a priority for the Regional Water Commission to continue to look at. The wholesale retail rate correlation was another area of concern. As you know, this contract is much different from the previous ones, and if you have specific questions about the rate, I'll totally defer to Kevin. Their technical committee spent a lot of time going through Toledo budgets and pulling out specific personnel and identifying what costs should be included as part of the wholesale rate calculation. We did request, and Toledo did respond and add the sentence, additional sentence that was important to us, that the wholesale rate shall be less than the first block retail rate, which is, I think, a very positive development for the contract. Another item that is of importance to us is obviously the provision in our water agreement that permits us to condition the provision of water on annexation. That paragraph is in here. Those are kind of the high points. There is a section in here
that I know Mr. Hanem and I have discussed about the proportional share of debt incurred. It does not, the original, a previous draft of the agreement required that we would, if we chose not to extend our agreement beyond the length of the contract, the term of the contract, if we wanted to leave, we would have to write Toledo a check for whatever they assigned our portion of the debt to be. That is not the case now. Now we start renegotiating the, this is a 40-year contract, we start renegotiating in year 30. If at any point from year 33 beyond, we say we don't want to be in this, we don't want to be in this contract anymore, then we are not responsible for our proportional share of the debt once we, at the end of the term. We're still on the hook for the 40 years and it will be included as part of the rate, but it's when we leave, we don't have to get a check. So those are the, do you have any questions?
Mr. Allen, do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay.
No.
Go ahead.
What? The rates are, you know, the rates are established. You see in Exhibit D how the final product is. There are probably about 10 to 12 worksheets that get us to just that Exhibit D in order to establish the, that breakdown of what's wholesale versus retail. Toledo was very open, basically opened their entire budget. We went department by department through water expenses, and that's how we came up with those percentages. The rates that you see in Exhibit H are projected rates, of course. Nobody knows what's going to happen 5 years from now. EPA could, a hot topic in Michigan right now is PFAS. It's a big, long word. If something were to come up that another treatment component is needed for that, obviously those numbers would go. But to everyone's best knowledge, that would be a very close estimate of what you could anticipate our rates to be for the next 8 years. So that's about it right now.
Thank you so much. I think all of you know how involved our Mayor Stow has been in these water negotiations, and I am confident that he would not have this coming before us this evening if he didn't feel this was a promising agreement that had potential. And I also would share with you and make sure we're all aware that we first want to see Toledo City Council support this legislation, this contract agreement before we actually move forward, because that has been where we've seen some barriers in the past. So I'm feeling very optimistic. And certainly if you have any other questions for the law director or the service director, please feel free to ask at this time. Yeah, that says a lot for you. All right, thank you very much. We have one more agenda item before we go to executive session, and that is agenda item 19, a potential zoning code.
Yeah,
change.
This is something that I would like to ask Mr. Hanem to consider for the Zoning and Annexation Committee. Very quick background. Last year, Council approved zoning of a development on Alexis Road just west of Whiteford. It is a 55-plus condo/single-family residence development. We looked at it twice, and as I've watched that development come up out of the ground, I'm believing that we sort of missed an important point. I'm not faulting us, but what we have over there now are a couple of straight-line streets with 12 or 18 structures on each side of the street, all that look exactly the same. No landscaping, no architectural articulation at all. No variance in terms of the color, the roofing, the architecture. And I think this is sort of an example of the worst case, worst practice that's being put in place now by some of our builders. I asked Mrs. Brining to look into what other communities have done to try to control ahead of construction, ahead of approval of these projects, to make sure that there's some sort of an architectural variance here. My concern is that this is ultimately going to hurt property values, right? If we create a cookie cutter community that looks no better than the barracks at Fort Dix, for example, it's not going to encourage more upscale development in adjacent areas, and it could actually invite lower end commercial development around these areas. So I would like to ask Mr. Hanum to take on the additional job of looking into what other remedies there are for us to put into our zoning code, not change the zoning code, but to establish one more perhaps degree of assessment of these projects. Upper Arlington, which is a community not unlike Sylvania, has added a section specifically called facade articulation, which is designed to create a little bit of a different look than just every building looking the same. I'm happy to say some of the projects that we have approved over the last couple of years, like Quarryside, like Mr. Schmidt's project on McCord Road, have incorporated some of these things. I think they're responsible builders, but clearly we're letting some people get away with architectural murder here. Mm-hmm. And so I would ask Doug if you could put that on the agenda at some point with zoning and annexation.
Mm-hmm. On this issue. Not sure what happened. I'm sure on my system.
Yeah.
We usually do those as a part of the system.
Well, you know, Doug, it might be as simple as when they bring in a rendering, they bring in a rendering of a single unit, right? And what we maybe aren't able to envision is that when you have one unit with 16 neighbors that look exactly the same, I mean, that we haven't had a chance to take a look at. So maybe there's some simply a change in what we demand.
I think we can sort of take a look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, is this something we can have a motion to refer to zoning for further consideration?
Yeah, let's refer to zoning, but let's not schedule a meeting.
That's
so we can't schedule a meeting until.
Yep, everybody's gone anyway. Yeah.
I'm sure I'll second that, Doug, if that's a motion. And so I'm happy to wait until later.
It's been moved and seconded to send a discussion of architectural standards for facade articulation, I think, is what it was stated
sure.
as, to our zoning
it's
committee.
It's all of a sudden a term.
All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And thank you for your willingness to take that on.
Thank you, Mrs. Westphal.
So with that, we have also had the request for an executive session. I would ask for a motion to move into executive session.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to move into executive session. Mrs. Bucher, I would ask you to do roll call, please.
Mrs. Capolini, Mr. Fry,
yes.
Mr. Hanum,
yes.
Mrs. Hussman,
yes.
Mr. Lupke,
yes.
Mr. Richardson,
yes.
Mrs. Westphal.
So with that, we will be moving into executive session. We'd have to invite everyone to leave, but before you do, I would want you to know that no decisions will be made in here in the executive session. Huh? It's only to discuss litigation, and I do not expect any action to occur following this meeting. Thank you all for being here, and we'd be happy to sign your paper before you leave. I didn't realize you were back.
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lupke?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Yes. Nobody's out there?
Nobody else.
So very good. So just a couple quick announcements before we formally adjourn. The July 2019 cash report is in there, and I think it looks very positive. As you will take a look at it, there were tracking ahead at 7.78%, so that's positive. Also, I would share with you that the second quarter 2019 management reports are in here, and I encourage you to take a look at those. Also, I would just take a quick moment to thank administrative team members who are present for your support this evening. Certainly, there was an unexpected circumstance that put me in a place to have to chair this meeting, and I had great confidence that there would be very little challenge based on the knowledge of this team. You're all exceptional. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to work with you. Thank you so much. And also for the fellow council members who helped me limp through this meeting. You guys are awesome. And with that, I would ask if there's a motion. Well, let me say, before we go to a motion to adjourn, the next meeting will be Tuesday, September 3rd at 7:30. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded to adjourn this meeting at 9:15. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. This meeting stands adjourned at 9:15.